Have you thought lately about those things you take for granted? What are they? Well, they're probably different for everyone, but there are those items that you really don't think about and thank the Lord for until they're gone. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Today on Focus on the Family, we're going to hear again from a man who received a quick wake-up call, so to speak, regarding something he'd taken for granted. And I'm not going to share any more of his story. I'll let him do that. Our host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, and I'm Mike Trout. Welcome to our broadcast, Doctor.
Mike, we're going to meet a man today with an absolutely incredible story to tell, unlike any that I have ever heard. His name is Dwayne Miller. He's a minister. He's currently the executive director of an organization called Practical Christianity. It's a ministry out of Houston, Texas. Dwayne has been involved in ministries for over 30 years, including a number of pastorates in Ohio and Wisconsin and Missouri and other places.
Almost sounds like an itinerant preacher.
In 30 years you can cover a lot of ground.
That's true.
Most recently he's been senior pastor of the First Baptist Church in Brenham, Texas, which is down in the direction of Houston. I think that's where it is.
That's
that right?
Correct. Yes, it is. It's about 70 miles to the northwest of the city of Houston.
Let's go back to 1990 on a Sunday morning. I think it was a January morning, which really kind of turned your life upside down.
Oh, it did. I had been the pastor at First Baptist Church in Brenham for 4 years at that point in time, or most of 4 years. And that morning I woke up with a virus, just the flu virus, and had that yucky feeling that you have when you know you're coming down with something. And had three services to preach that morning as general Sunday morning, 8:30, 11 o'clock in that evening. And I have always, in my ministry, used music along with the preaching. I was involved with music before I ever started preaching. I started singing professionally when I was 16. So music has always been a part of my ministry. And that morning I had planned to sing as part of my sermon. Well, in the 8:30 service, I went ahead and did what I had planned, but my throat was really sore, very, very sore. And the sound that I was making was not a pleasant one. I didn't like what I heard. So by the 11 o'clock service, we decided to dispense with the song, and I edited the sermon, and everyone was proud because we got out on time with the editing that was done. But I was really not feeling well at all. And by the evening service, I could not speak. It was a laryngitis-type sound, and it was just so intense that it just wasn't there. So I didn't even make an effort. I had a very close friend that was a deacon in the church who could preach as well as... Well, he could preach pretty well.
And he almost said it.
So I asked Charlie to fill in for me, and he did that, and he did a wonderful job. And the church prayed for me that night and sent me home to bed. And I just endured the flu, just an ordinary flu virus. It really was nothing extraordinary that I hadn't had before, except that I could not get over it in my throat.
And what you felt was a laryngitis that most of our listeners would be familiar with.
Absolutely, and just a very, very sore throat. At the end of 2 weeks, or almost 2 weeks, all the other symptoms of the flu had cleared, except I still had the throat sore and couldn't speak well. So I went to consult a specialist, a friend of mine in Houston that I knew, and he looked at my throat, told me that it was swollen almost completely shut still, and that the infection was still pretty rampant down there. So he put me on some more medication that was a little stronger than what he'd been doing. Sent me back home for another couple of weeks. At the end of that period of time, it's now about a month into it, when I went back to see him, the infection had cleared and the swelling had gone down, but the voice still wasn't there. The easiest way I know to describe to someone listening to what it felt like and sounded like is to tell them to put their thumb and their forefinger right above their Adam's apple, and the windpipe is right there. And if you try to squeeze on that windpipe and talk at the same time, That's the sound, and that's also the feeling. It was as if someone had their hand on my throat and was squeezing it and wouldn't turn it loose. There was not excruciating pain with that, but it was just a constant pressure that just did not go away.
Were you preaching during this time?
No.
Were you using your voice at all?
Not at all. The doctors had asked me to not use the voice at all because they weren't sure what the problem was, and so they had put me on total voice rest. So for about 6 weeks, I wrote notes. Mm-hmm. That's also a challenge, believe me, particularly for a preacher. and one who loves to talk. But we did not use the voice at all during that period of time, trying to give it every opportunity to recover.
But it did not get better.
Not at all. And when it did not recover, my friend felt that whatever the problem was beyond what he was prepared to deal with. And so he referred me to the Baylor College of Medicine there in Houston at our medical center. And I don't know how familiar your listeners may be with the medical center in Houston, but it's one of the finest medical facilities in the world. And when I went there and they agreed to take me as a patient, I immediately picked up 13 specialists as a team. I mean, immediately. And they began to diagnose, to try to diagnose initially, and then to treat my condition.
From what I understand about your story, and I'm hearing it for the first time in detail, but you never did get a diagnosis or a real clear diagnosis of what was wrong with you.
It took a very long time. The first diagnosis that they came back with, and every time they would diagnose, they always used the word tentative, because it was very difficult. They could not put their finger on an organic problem. We went through an incredible amount of testing. I want folks to understand that my doctors were some of the finest human beings and the most capable human beings on the face of the earth. This was not difficult because they weren't qualified. It was difficult because it was, I believe, God ordained to be difficult. I see that now looking back at it. I didn't see it at the time.
Were you whispering your prayers to the Lord during that time, Dwayne?
Dr. Dobson, I ran the gamut of emotions. There were times when I was angry with God. There was times when I was in despair. When I questioned, I had people that I'm sure meant well, but their counsel was questionable, who came to me and told me that there must be sin in my life or this wouldn't be happening to me.
That's the usual rule.
That if I had sufficient faith, you know, I would be restored. And when you're going through a valley like that and to have someone, even though their intentions may be well-intended or whatever, may be right, to have those words said to you are just devastating.
Did you feel in the beginning that God called you to be a minister?
Oh, there was never any doubt in my mind.
And then, you know, yeah. Mike, this fits into my book. God calls a man to speak for him, to be a minister, be a preacher, and takes his voice away.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't make sense.
It's a learning process, though, isn't it?
Totally.
You have to be available to whatever lesson the Lord's trying to teach you.
The best counsel that I got was from a very dear friend of mine that I had gone to school with and had known for years, but had not talked to him in probably 15 years. And he called me, and he had heard of my struggling emotionally with all of this, as well as physically. And in our conversation, he said, Dwayne, do you remember when we prayed together and you told the Lord that you would go anywhere and you would do anything that he wanted you to do? And I said, yeah, I remember that. And he said, well, God's just taking you up on it.
You know, this reminds me, Doctor, of something you said many times about raising children. You need to help them find something they do very well, or at least they can do well, and encourage them in that. And here's a man who had found what he thought he was supposed to do, what he did well, and then it was taken away
from him. It's more than just an illness. It involves your whole identity.
Oh, it did.
Who you are and what you're called to do. It involves your relationship
totally.
With the Lord, and it involves your finances. How do you make a living?
Sure.
Everything is upside down, isn't it?
We finally ultimately resigned the church after taking a leave of absence. I felt that it was not fair to the church for us to remain as senior pastor any longer. They needed a pastor, and they had waited over a year for us, or about a year for us, to become healthy. So when we resigned and we moved back to the city of Houston, my wife had to resume a career. She had been trained as an X-ray technologist, but when our children were small, we had consciously decided that she would stay home and be mom, and we were blessed of God that we were able to do that. But now she was forced back into a career that's very technical, and she hadn't worked in it for 15 years. I mean, that's a scary thing to have to do that, and my wife was an absolute pillar of strength. I sing her praises everywhere I go, and it's very important for people to understand that, you know, in our society, there's an awful lot of, I'll stay with you till I get a better deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Joylene, when she said, better or worse, richer or poorer, she meant it. And our relationship has become even stronger through all of the things that we have been through, and she is the most precious lady on the face of the earth, bar none.
I know that there was eventually an explanation. I'm not sure how much anybody believed it, but that the myelin sheath, which is that substance that coats the nerve endings to your vocal cord from the brain, had eroded away. Is that what they think?
They think that the virus had been able to penetrate the myelin sheath. One of the things that they did determine was that I was in a very run-down condition, that I had really been burning the candle at both ends, a lot of pastors do. That's not taking any self-pity. It's just a fact. We all work very hard. And they felt that because I was in somewhat of a weakened condition physically, that the virus was able to penetrate that myelin sheath and had damaged the nerves. Yeah. And so the vocal cords were simply not getting the message from the brain that they were supposed to move.
Well, Mike, we come to this moment, which I think people are going to find one of the most interesting 7-minute pieces of tape they've ever heard. Let me put it in reference to myself.
Sure.
I found it to be one of the most interesting recordings I've ever heard, because you were invited to Houston to speak to your old Sunday school class. This is the only Sunday school class in that church that records its speakers, the Sunday school teachers. And the subject, as I understand, was chosen years before.
That's correct. It was standard Southern Baptist Bible Book Series curriculum. It is not anything that was extraordinary. We were just doing what we do.
So you came to speak through your scratchy, whispery voice. Everybody understood they were going to have a hard time hearing you.
That class had asked me to take over the teaching again some 8 months before this. And, you know, I had responded to them, guys, I can't teach anymore. You can't listen to this for an hour. And I think more out of deference to me, because they knew how badly I missed being able to teach, they said, oh, we'll listen just really carefully. And so we had found a microphone, and by putting the windscreen literally on my lips, it was touching my lips as I spoke, most of the time I could be understood. And that's how we were doing this on this particular morning. It was just a regular, ordinary Sunday morning, just doing what we do.
All right, let's hear this 7-minute piece of tape. Listen very carefully to what happens in the midst of this recording.
To say that every single person will always be healed because Jesus died on the cross is a misinterpretation of Scripture. Not true. Won't work. Isaiah 53 doesn't talk about physical healing. I'm sorry. That's just not the context. And to impress that there causes a misinterpretation of Scripture. That's wrong. On the other hand, to say that, since we don't have anything after the book of Acts, that miracles ended at the book of Acts and they never happen again, is equally as wrong. Because you have put God in a box both ways. And he doesn't want to be in the box. So, the psalmist says, I'm excited, bless the Lord, O my soul. One of his benefits is he heals all of my diseases. And then in verse 4 he says, and he redeems my life from the pit. Now, I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had, and you have had in times past, pit experiences. We've all had times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave. And we didn't have an answer for the pit we find ourselves in. And I don't understand this right now. I'm but overwhelmed at the moment. I'm not quite sure what to say or do. Sounds funny to say at a loss for words. Thank you, Lord. He redeems my life from the pit. And crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abounding in love. The Lord will not accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, that's mercy. Or repay us according to our iniquities, that's mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. I'm sorry for the emotions. No, I'm not. That's a lie. I'm not. I wish I could let you see how I feel inside right now. I wish I could see how I feel inside right now. Yeah. That's good.
Dwayne, I've lived all these years. I have never heard anything like that. You were literally healed while you were speaking.
Absolutely, in the middle of a word.
You weren't praying. You weren't asking for healing.
No.
It just happened.
No.
What in the world were you thinking? You were obviously overwhelmed.
I have not yet thoroughly, I guess, analyzed exactly how I feel. I'm still overwhelmed with it. It's all I can do to sit here today just listening to that tape and not absolutely break down in tears again. I am so overwhelmed with what God has done.
You've never had any other voice problems since?
No, not at all. In fact, I've been back to the doctors and we've gone through all the tests again and some more videotape of my vocal cords, and the doctor, when it was all finished, showed me and said, Dwayne, not only are you okay, I can't find any evidence that you ever had a voice problem.
You know, what made that so interesting is that you were making the case there that God doesn't always choose.
That's right.
To heal. If you'd have been standing up there saying, you know, God's a genie in a bottle and He'll do everything you tell Him to do, it would have been a little phony. But you were saying exactly the opposite, and He chose to touch you.
He is sovereign God. We cannot put God in a formula that says, if I, then God.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't manipulate God. And you can't put Him in a time box and tell Him to behave Himself and not get out of the box. You can't do it either way. God is beyond our comprehension. He is sovereign. And the day I think I can understand God, He won't be God anymore. I will be.
You can no more explain the healing than you could the sickness
not
3 years before.
The only thing I can explain now is a purpose, in that God has allowed what has happened to me to be a witness to His power and His majesty and His sovereignty to people in a manner in which perhaps would have never happened any other way. And if God wants to be glorified and is glorified in that manner, then He is sovereign God. So be it.
Dwayne, at the moment that your voice started clearing up there, you seemed shocked.
Oh, I was.
It must have been an unbelievable experience.
I can tell you what was going on in my mind. That I can remember clearly. The first thing I felt was just the release. When I said the word pit, you have had in times past and I have had pit experiences. It was on the word pit that it just let go. It had been there and it was gone, just like that. Nothing any more dramatic or less dramatic than that. It was just gone.
And you knew it?
Oh, it startled me. Because the pressure had been, it was like someone had been choking me for 3 years, and suddenly it was gone. The hand that had been on my throat wasn't there anymore. It was just gone. The pressure was relieved just that instantaneously. But the next thing I remember after I was startled, I began to say a few more phrases or sentences, and I stopped, paused. And the thought that went through my mind, I'll never forget, was, is that what I think it is? And then I said a few more phrases, and I realized Yeah, that is what I think it is. Oh, it was awesome.
You know, Mike, why I wanted this story to be told so much, because we did do a whole series of programs on when God doesn't make sense. Those occasions when he may choose not to heal, and he may say, my grace is sufficient unto you, you know,
That's
when he
right.
says, carry it.
That's right.
But he still does heal
yes.
in
yes.
cases that he chooses.
That's right.
And we can't lose sight of that. And he does ask us to bring our needs and our burdens to him.
And we are to have hope. We are yeah. never to lose hope. We are never to lose sight of the fact that he is God. And he is able to create and recreate. He is in the resurrection business. And when we think everything is dead, that's when he's about to do something exciting.
Dwayne, you know what I would like you to do at the end of this program? I'd like you to pray. You're a minister. I would like you to pray for the people out there who are listening to us, who are in despair because whatever their physical problem is still there. And they have lost hope and maybe even lost faith that God is there. Would you close this program in prayer for those folks?
Absolutely. Our Father, I thank you today for this privilege to pray for your people who are hurting and broken. Lord, I know what the inside of that pit looks like. And I know how slippery the walls can be when you're trying to climb out. And I know the darkness that becomes oppressive at times when it seems an answer is just not found. But Lord, I also know that as surely as Joseph sat in prison, you had a purpose.
You did, Lord.
And you brought it to pass. And Lord, as surely as I was in my pit, you had a purpose and you brought it to pass. Lord, I guess two words that I would love folks to hang on to from the scripture are the words, but God. For when we despair, but God can change it in a heartbeat, in an eyelash blink. So, Lord, today, I pray for every person that's listening to this program that they will take new heart, new faith, new confidence, new hope in recognizing that you're still on the throne, mm-hmm. that you're still relevant, that you still intervene in lives, and that you have a purpose for everything that's happening. Lord, I believe that most of us could deal with anything if we just could understand the purpose. Help us to trust you. With one hand, perhaps, take hold of your omnipotence, the power to change, but with the other hand, grip tightly to your omniscience and trust your wisdom. Help us today to do that, Father, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dwayne, there is such ministry in your story and in your prayer. I just pray that it will be helpful to people out there across the nation. In fact, you've shared the story before, and you're writing a book on that subject.
Yes, yes, we are.
And
hopefully within the next several months, it'll be in publication.
Well, you be sure and send us the first copy.
Promise. Probably the second. My wife has dibs on the first.
Oh, could be. It is good to hear that strong, steady voice. And I just pray that the Lord's arms will continue to be around you in your ministry. You really love him, don't you?
With all my soul.
But would you have loved him
yeah.
if he had not touched you?
Absolutely.
Voice? You never gave him an absolute. Either you touch
no.
me or I won't serve you.
I could no
That's
more do that.
That's the biggest trap.
No.
I mean, that one leads to despair.
Yeah. Absolutely. I could not do that. I'm just not built that way. God had redeemed me. That psalm begins, David begins it with, he has forgiven all my sins. This miracle of my healing is a wonderful thing, and I thank God for it. Don't misunderstand me. I am excited beyond words. But my most exciting miracle is the fact that God has forgiven my
mm-hmm.
sin. And I have relationship with him, and that has nothing to do with my physical condition.
And that's the ultimate
Amen.
Miracle
that's
in living.
It.
Dwayne, God bless you, friend.
Thank
we
you.
Just met today. I consider you a lifetime friend.
Bless God. And the same in return.
Come back and see us.
Thank you.
That's one of the great aspects of this responsibility that we have in the Focus on the Family studio. We meet so many wonderful people and quickly become friends. This broadcast is provided on a regular basis by Focus on the Family. Audio engineering and production were handled by Pete Stokey and Keith Valenzuela. Our executive producer is Bobby Valentine. Our host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. I'm Mike Trout, inviting you back when we'll again turn our hearts toward home.